name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hi, my name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. I over-enunciated that, sorry. We're back this month with another guest, and actually the exact opposite of what we talked about last month. So we'll be discussing why someone would choose to have kids, and what's that like? And just a reminder, if you want to pay us $15 once or over the course of the podcast, we will podcast about anything you would like us to talk about. Colby, what would you want to talk about if someone paid us?
Why the Seahawks need to stop running cover three all the time.
I don't think that's for this podcast, but...
if someone gives us $15, it is.
And as always, we have those Venmo links in the bio. Not in the bio. In the description of the episode. This is not Instagram.
In the doobly-doo. Go check it out.
And we have another question of the week of the month. Colby, what's your favorite TV theme song? Oh, I don't actually have an answer. I have to think of one.
I know. I Googled TV theme songs and I saw the rundown. We can go Phineas and Ferb, a little Bowling for Soup action. I like the Phineas and Ferb theme. Thank You for Being a Friend, Golden Girls. Never seen an episode of that show, but I love the theme song.
I mean, there's a lot of iconic opening sequences, like, of shows that I've seen so many times that I just know. Like, The Wire has a really good opening sequence. Wouldn't call that my favorite. I think I would have to go Scrubs.
It's a good one.
Like, I'm no Superman. Boo, doo, doo. I mean, yeah, that's the first one that popped into my head. If I thought about it more deeply, I could probably come up with another answer. But I think for now, I think that's probably my favorite TV theme song. And we have a guest this month. So, Jesse, what's your favorite TV theme song? And also, we'll let you answer last month's question, which is, what is your favorite musical soundtrack?
Thank you very much, Martha and Colby. I'm happy to be here. So embarrassingly, the first one that came to my mind was the Friends one. I feel like that's really iconic. But I think my favorite is the Game of Thrones theme. Mm.
Okay, how did I not pick that? Like, that's a great answer.
It's just like there's no words, but instantly when you hear it, all but my feelings about watching the show and like the friendships I made, including with you both, just come to mind. And we also, it was our recessional song at our wedding. So we walked back down the aisle once we had been officially married to that song. Yeah. That's so it brings a lot of good memories, and it's a great song. I like it a lot. So, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about my favorite musical soundtrack or cast album. Lately, it's been Hadestown. And by lately, I mean for the past 2 years.
I've heard really good things about that musical. I haven't listened to the soundtrack yet, but I have heard really great things.
Yeah, I'm a person that doesn't want musicals spoilers, so I haven't listened to Hadestown yet. And I'm planning on coming to see it whenever the pandy's over, because I think it's coming to Durham. So I want to listen to Hadestown because everyone says it's so good, but I just haven't yet.
I actually had tickets to it the week after Broadway shut down for the pandemic.
No.
So I was supposed to go to New York, and I was like, should I cancel? Yeah. And then Broadway shut down. I was like, okay, I guess that's a sign to cancel.
I'm going to look up our Broadway season for 2021. I had tickets to go. Oh, it is coming. Oh, and Moulin Rouge and Prom and Hamilton. Oh, and Cats.
I'd listen to Hadestown if there was a pro shot of it, but they are being very cagey about a pro shot for Hadestown. From what I've heard, it's not like I pirate anything.
I want season tickets for Broadway, but I think it would just be me because they're like super expensive. So
we usually have an extra ticket in Chicago. So if you want to drive down when everything opens again, you're welcome to have it.
Certainly will. Excellent. All right. We'll just plan on that for now. All right. As you have heard her voice, our guest of the month is Jesse. And Jesse, that's your name, is host of the Daily Nightly podcast. And you may recognize her from when she guested on the Four Nations Report. Man, was that season two or season one? Do you remember what was it? Season two? Was it the Cave of Two Lovers?
It was early season two.
Okay. Sweet. Excellent. Well, welcome. We're happy to have you.
I'm very happy to be here and joining the Martha and Colby extended universe of podcasts.
Which will slowly start shrinking, but we'll get into that later.
Hey, we aren't talking about that yet. This is podcast going to go on forever and ever and ever.
Okay.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having kids.
Having kids. Kiddos. Yes. That's a terrible joke. The last episode, I titled it Kiddos No. So it's Kiddos Yes. We'll just hop into it. So you have a daughter.
I do.
When did you know you wanted to have kids?
It was always something that I expected would happen. So it's hard to put a date on it. It was just something that I always knew I wanted. And it never really felt like a decision to me, if that makes sense.
We talked about it like last month with Tessa about like societal pressure. Did you feel like pressure to have kids, or was it like totally your choice? Like, would your parents have been mad if you didn't have kids?
I think my parents would have been disappointed if I didn't have kids, but I'd like to think they would have respected my choice. I might have to have dealt with some passive aggressive comments, but they've always been very accepting of my choices. And I also have a sister, so they would have had another opportunity. But yeah, I mean, it's never something we really discussed. It was always sort of expected. So it is, I guess, a little bit hard to disassociate what I thought I wanted maybe versus what just I grew up thinking what I was supposed to want. But I'm pretty happy with my decision so far.
How old's the kiddo?
She's about 8 months.
Oh, I thought eight she was older months. Than that.
Literally forgot how long ago you had this child. My partner asked me, like, how old's the kid? I was like, between 6 months and 2 years.
2 years?
You nailed it. Yeah.
In the science world, they call that one accurate but not precise.
Well, we did talk briefly when you were pregnant about Gigi Hadid overshadowing you. Do you still feel that that is the case, that she overshadowed your pregnancy?
You know, a little bit. But at the same time, she hasn't shown the baby's face, and the name was like a slow rollout. So I feel like my child got like her moment before Gigi took it over.
Kai's mom. That's what her bio says, which I think is kind of cute, actually. But I know not everyone that thinks that. Also, I love Gigi indeed. So back to the questions. Was it something... like having kids, was it something you were actively planning for, or were you waiting for the time is right? Because I feel like as women, you know, we hear the argument, okay, you know, do you want to develop your career or do you want kids? You can't have it both. I don't think that's necessarily true, but I think a lot of the times it can be. Like people give up their, you know, like your career path to have maternity leave or something and take a break. Do you think that was the case for you?
It was definitely something I planned. It was always sort of in my head that I would get married and then start trying like a year after, like almost to the day. I was like, that's the date. And I think it was because I was very cognizant of the fact that I was in my 30s. I wanted two children. If, you know, I wasn't able to have one right away after a year of trying and it would take further treatments, like that would add more time to the process. And I didn't want my kids to be one after the other. I wanted some time in between. And so I did really feel that biological clock sort of ticking. So that definitely was part of my process. And I went to law school, so I didn't even get married until my late 20s. So I think that my education and then meeting my husband and then dating my husband and then there was a progression and it was very planned out. And I want to say calculated, which sounds sort of mad, but it was on my mind.
What was the number of kids conversation like for you and your partner?
We both came from families of two. I was one of two girls, and he was, he has a younger sister. And I think we both sort of knew that we wanted two kids. It was understood between us, and we had those conversations pretty early when we were dating.
How early would you say is pretty early? Because I got this this question last week, and I had no clue how early we actually started talking about it.
So, I mean, so on our third date was when I brought up children for the first time, because my husband was the first non-Jewish man I'd ever really seriously started dating. And at that point, I knew that I wanted to raise my children Jewish. So it was very important to me to have that conversation extremely early with someone that I wanted to have a serious relationship with who was not brought up that way. And so I think on our third date, I remember where we were. We were in this steak restaurant, this burger place downtown. And I said, I just want you to know I'm not changing my last name if we get married and we're raising our kids Jewish. And if you have a problem with that, then we just need to stop this right now because it can't go any further. And so that was very well established from the beginning. And then I think we had those kids conversations probably from that initial conversation.
Hey, respect. I mean, I feel like I feel like it's becoming less taboo to bring that kind of stuff early, especially when did you meet your husband and how old are you now?
Oh, God. I think I'm 32 now. And I met him when I was 23.
Oh, okay. So you guys knew each other for a long time. Oh, I thought it was later than that.
I think because we started dating the summer after I graduated from law school. So wait, no. maybe I was older than that, 25-ish.
Okay.
Long-term relationships, time doesn't exist, honestly.
Well, I mean, the point I was trying to make is that I'm 27, as we've established, I'm old now. I'm out of the youth council.
Correct.
Thank you, Colby. And I feel like... because I know that kids aren't necessarily on my timeline. Maybe they could be if, I'm ever I don't know, maybe let's do it. Or if I ever feel that, maybe I'm missing out on something. But right now I definitely don't feel that. I'm not financially secure
Please
enough.
Don't to have kids because you feel like you're missing out on something, Martha.
I know. I know what you mean. I'm not going to do that, but right, FOMO, let's get pregnant. No, that would be awful. Anyways, the point is, I am pretty firmly in, okay, probably not. If the stars align, then maybe. But I feel like I've definitely brought it up early on in dating because I don't want to waste people's time. I don't really want kids. That probably won't change. So if that's something you want, we could talk about it, or if that's, a deal breaker for you. Let's just part ways. So I talked to my, I guess now partner about it. And I was I don't really want kids. And they're I don't really want kids either. I'm sweet, we're done. That's all we had to say, So I feel like it has potential to be a big conversation, but I think it's good to get it out of the way. Okay, so you knew you wanted to have kids. You planned for it. What was the process of getting pregnant I know logically how it happens, but
so Martha, do we need to have a conversation?
Yeah, Colby, tell me how to make babies. No, I was talking to Jesse before this, and this is something we discussed.
It's a good question. I think when I started doing the research on it, I was sort of shocked about how hard it is to get pregnant. You spend so much of your life being told, don't get pregnant, don't get pregnant. And then all of a sudden, there's a switch that flips and it's get pregnant. You have to get pregnant right now. And there's only 4 days out of the month where you can actually get pregnant, where you're ovulating.
That's wild to me.
And obviously it can happen, many different ways. But when you're actually trying, that 4-day window is extremely stressful. And there's, I think I had at one point six fertility tracker apps that I would use. And I was, you can take your temperature, like, cause when you're ovulating, your temperature goes up like a tiny little bit. So these women, like every day, every morning, like the exact same time you take your temperature, there's like strips that you can use to check when you're ovulating. And I joined these online communities for like, and learned all these acronyms, like TTC is trying to conceive, and DPO, which is like days post ovulation. Cause then when you're trying, then you like obsessively check if you're pregnant all the time. So you can easily drive yourself really pretty bananas doing this process. And I, of course, read every book because once I set my mind to it, I had to get pregnant. It was pretty stressful, and it can be not fun to make the process about those, like, that tiny window. And, you know, the app says this and then this app says that and they're different and which day is it? It can be really stressful, I definitely am probably the more extreme end of the spectrum, though.
But it sounds super prepared. Like, I feel like you'd rather err on that side than the other.
I mean, the only thing I could see myself being the same way, but then I think I would get really frustrated if it ended up not working. Like, I was doing all these things and then, like, I didn't get pregnant, which I know is a reality for a lot of people. Like, I want to say, like, you're probably a close friend that got pregnant, but none of my other, like, close friends have kids or, like, are trying to have kids right now. So I assume I will hear a lot more about it when the time comes. But yeah, I mean, like, I feel like it's probably hard and maybe not that fun after a while, but I don't know.
In retrospect, do you think 6 apps was a good idea, or do you think like 1 or 2 would have done the job?
Probably like 1 or 2. There were a couple of things that I know worked, or like I'm pretty sure that worked, that I would, you know, revisit. But I think I joined all these online communities of women trying to conceive, and it's really nice that they exist and that these people are supporting each other. But it can be a really intense, depressing place at times. And I think that I didn't necessarily need to go in that deep, because you can easily convince yourself that there's something wrong, that you know, even when you get pregnant, there's like things like chemical pregnancy. There's lots of things that can go wrong in pretty much every step of the process. And it's very easy to get caught up in that and assume like something is going to happen. And I'm a really negative person. You know, I like to be prepared for the negative things and assume that they're going to happen and then just be pleasantly surprised when they don't. But in this case, it would be like, I spent the first maybe, because you know in the movies when you get the positive pregnancy test and then you immediately get an appointment with your doctor. Well, most doctors won't see you until you're like 8 to 10 weeks pregnant.
Mm.
So you have to wait. That's a really long time to know you're pregnant and then just like be like, am I pregnant? Like, am I? Is it all like made up?
Yeah, I feel like I'd be like, no, see me now. Like, what's going on? I don't know. I feel like
they can't hear the heartbeat until, like, they would just be a waste of time for everyone. But it's incredibly stressful. I ended up reaching out to a friend. I said, what did you do? Like, I can't focus on anything. I'm paranoid. I keep running to the bathroom. And she was like, buy a Lego set. I said, what? She's like, get a Lego set. It'll keep your mind busy. And so I did. I bought like a really fun Lego set. And she was right. It's like doing a puzzle, you know, like, your brain is busy, so you're not constantly thinking about what bad things could happen.
Interesting.
I feel like preparing for the worst and being pleasantly surprised is a good summation of being a Bears fan. So I think I think you've had your whole life preparing for this moment.
A Chicago sports fan in general.
Oh my God, every podcast is about sports. Every single one. It's okay. I'm used to it. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
I made the guests laugh. Relating.
Lots of people relate to being a Chicago sports fan. It's a very big market, Martha.
I mean, I can say the same about Minnesota sports. Like, it's pretty rough sometimes. We never make it far.
I thought you were saying it's very relatable because it's a big market. I'm like, no, it's
not. No. But it's like, we're good, but we're not that good. So, like, there's an opportunity for us to go far, but usually we choke. Anyways, So tell us about like pregnancy. Once you found out you were pregnant and it was legit, was it smooth sailing for you, or was it hard to sort of adjust to growing a human inside of you?
Yeah, no. I had a really relatively easy pregnancy than a lot of people. So I'm really lucky about that. I didn't have really bad morning sickness. I never even threw up. Knock on wood. Whoa. Or thank goodness. I felt kind of sick, but I never actually got sick, thankfully. And so I feel really lucky about that. And it was also the winter time, so I could like hide it pretty easily. And I hid it from my coworkers, I think, until I was like 5 months pregnant. Cause,
oh, wow.
Yeah, because I just didn't want to tell anybody. And so I was pretty lucky, and your second trimester is like really nice usually, because you're like feeling really good and you're not like too big. But then like at the end of my second trimester was when like the pandemic hit. And so that was pretty weird being pregnant during then, just because there were all these stories in New York about women having to give birth without their partner there. And like all these rules at the hospital and family not allowed in. And so it was pretty stressful. And then like the baby didn't want to come out. So I had to be like, they were like going to induce me. And then like the day of my induction, like I went into labor. So it was just sort of like a comedy of errors. And like they tell you, you know, a pregnancy is 9 months, but it's 10 months. Like pregnancy is 40 weeks. It's a really long time.
That's 10 months. Yeah, that's not 9 months.
I remember the first time I heard that, I'm like, so y'all just lie to people for their entire lives until they get to be adults.
Well, do they do that because technically, probably for the first 4 weeks, you wouldn't necessarily know? Like, that's the only way I can reason it. Like, oh, you know, for the first 4 weeks, you don't know if you've like missed your period or anything. I don't know.
I think they're saving one more surprise for adults.
Yeah. But yeah, you spend this time like trying to conceive, potentially, or at least I did, and then you're pregnant, and then you give birth, and then there's like breastfeeding. It's like a never ending process.
Shit,
like
yeah, that's exhausting.
I was telling Martha I recently just decided to stop breastfeeding, and I was like reading online about it, and all these women were talking about post weaning depression. I was like, how is this a thing? Like, why is there just like there's depression when you're pregnant, there's depression after you're pregnant. Like, why do we have to like endure like all these horrible things? And I never heard of post-weaning. I luckily hadn't had to deal with that, but I was just like, can we just, is there one part of this process that's just like, I mean, getting the baby is great.
What's very odd to me is the amount, well, I don't know if this is odd or not, but like the amount of things you're not allowed to do when you're pregnant. Like,
okay, this is something I wanted to ask you about, because I was watching a YouTube video. So there's this, all the great medical advice starts with, I was watching a YouTube video.
Colby's a doctor now.
TikToks are really good too, for medical advice.
But it's a trivia show called Actually, that they do like nerd trivia for like the first 10 questions. And the last piece of trivia is like real life advice. And one of the contestants said that all the stuff that you're not supposed to do during pregnancy is all bull. Like you can drink if you want to, like you can smoke if you want. Like don't
what?
Like not whatever you want to, but like
I don't know if I believe
it's fine.
So the problem with knowing basically anything about pregnancy is it's unethical to conduct tests on pregnant women. So you can't, any normal test, right, to like, is drinking bad for you while pregnant? You would have like a bunch of women and pregnant women. Some would be a control group. Some would be drinking while they're pregnant. You can't ethically do that. It'd be extremely horrible.
That's a good point.
So everything that we know about effects from pregnancy come retroactively. So you look back. So you look at like stuff that has happened and you ask these women, did you drink when you were pregnant? Did you smoke when you were pregnant? And that's how they figure out what's bad. You know, like having, like, you're not allowed to have non-pasteurized cheese or you're not allowed to have like deli meats.
That was
meats.
On the list on the actually, yeah. Was pasteurized cheese and deli meat.
Yeah, and so like, does deli meats can give you listeria? Like, you guys can get this listeria from deli meats. Everybody can. That's a bit, it's something that could happen. But if you're pregnant, it'd be a lot more problematic if you were to get listeria because you wouldn't be able to be treated for it. So that's sort of the issue with that. And rarely are cheeses in America not pasteurized. You'd have to be like importing cheese from France and eating it. So there's actually a really good book called Expecting Better by Emily Oster. And it goes through a lot of these studies, like study by study, and kind of goes into why certain studies are bad and like what you can and can't. You really can and can't do. And it's basically just, you know, talk to your doctor, see what they say, and also just, you know, be careful and really don't smoke. Smoking is actually very bad. But everything else, I drink coffee. I don't drink normally, so it wasn't hard not to drink while pregnant. But I drink coffee a lot, and I didn't really give up coffee while I was pregnant. I had maybe like a cup and a half a day. And she came out. I mean, it's not my medical advice to drink coffee while you're pregnant, like talk to your doctor. But for me, I didn't really want to give that up. And like, especially you're so tired while pregnant. So like to get through the day, I sort of needed caffeine. And so I had blue cheese.
Gasp.
You know, they tell you to sleep on your like left side at some point while you're pregnant, because like you could cut off if you're like sleeping on your back, you could cut off like circulation or something like that. And I'm a back sleeper. I didn't really change that.
I'm telling.
I didn't like do gymnastics or anything, but yeah, I think you just got to talk to your doctor and recognize that a lot of these studies have really small sample sizes and they're not, it's just sort of the way it is. And also I women's health isn't exactly well researched, I think, in general.
So, moral of the story, doctors are lying to you.
Yes, exactly.
Let's not put out that message.
And also, don't smoke.
Yeah, don't smoke while pregnant. Drink all the coffee while I'm pregnant. That was totally fine.
Let's dial that back. Listen to your doctor. Don't listen to us.
How talk to your doctor.
Probably don't smoke while you're pregnant. Probably just don't smoke anyway. Like that's probably my medical advice. But I'm curious. Did you get like a fancy birthing suite? Did you like go ball out at the hospital, or were you a commoner?
I don't think there's much of a choice. I gave birth at Northwestern Hospital in Chicago, which is where I was born actually. And it's really nice. What was really good about Northwestern is they have a separate labor and delivery unit. So especially during COVID, that's really nice because it's very much separate from the rest of the hospital. It's not like people coming in there are coming for COVID, and there's not a lot of meshing with that. So there was like a COVID floor and a designated labor and delivery doctor for that floor. And then everywhere else was, and you had to get a COVID test that was negative while you were in labor before they would officially admit you. But they had a really nice birthing area. It was a really nice suite for everybody. Some people do get Lakeview rooms, and I did not, but
bummer.
That's okay.
Should have bribed him.
I know. I should have. But it was a very good experience birthing there. And I actually, when I gave birth, the COVID numbers in Chicago were at their lowest point during the summer. And so my awesome. Husband was allowed in there with me. And we were also allowed to have our a doula that we hired. And so thankfully she was allowed in.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question to ask. So I know what doulas are. Like, I randomly follow one on Instagram for some reason. I don't remember why I started, but I do. And I feel like I've learned a lot from her. Talk to us a little bit about your birthing plan. Like, was it nice to have a doula? Were you, like, drugged me up? Or were you like, no, natural? Like, that's the only way.
Also, what is a doula for the people listening to the podcast?
A doula is they're not delivering the baby. They're more like a birthing coach who meets with you beforehand, who talks about a plan with you, who knows what you want, and who's going to advocate for you in the room. Like, my doctors were phenomenal. I had an OB that I went to for all my checkups, because you have many checkups when you're pregnant. And she was great, but when you are giving birth, whoever's on call will deliver your baby, and they cycle out. So when I was admitted, there was one doctor on call, and then I was in labor a very long time, so there were two other doctors that cycled in. And you have nurses, you know, who are wonderful, but they also have, you know, shifts. They're not going to, like, stay with you the whole time. So a friend had recommended having a doula there with a because she had really liked the experience. It's someone that'll answer all your questions. You know, they know your plan, what you want, and can advocate for you. Like, mine knew that I did want an epidural. And so she would coach me through, like, are you ready for it? She's ready for it. She would call the anesthesiologist. It was just nice to have a knowledgeable person. Mine just so happened to be a registered nurse as well, but you don't necessarily have to be. And it was just really helpful. I was in labor a really, really long time, and then eventually had a C-section. And so she, you know, helped move me around to more comfortable positions. We got on the birthing ball to get more comfortable. And she got me apple juice.
Key.
And ultimately, I didn't like have to push her anything, but like if I did, she would have helped. She was just really helpful in terms of making decisions and advocating for me. So I was really lucky that I was able to hire her and that she was allowed in.
Shouts to doulas, like, for real. They're awesome. But also, when I learned that, like, the OB that you've been, like, working with and meeting with, like, this whole time might not be the one delivering your child, I'm like, nah. You need to call this dude or dudette to come and get this baby,
because I don't know this person.
I don't know this person. I don't want them touching my child.
You're going to have to pay extra for that.
I will Uber them there. Like, I don't know this person.
I don't think it works like that, but good luck. That's why you got to get the doula, because they'll be there. I asked my mom about, like, what giving birth in the 90s was like, and I think she got drugged up, and I think it was chill. I don't know. If I had kids, I would be like, give me everything. I don't want to feel a thing, but...
I was scheduled to be induced because I was like 42 weeks pregnant at that point, and they don't really let you go. They don't really let you go much further than that. But then the day before I was scheduled to be induced, I went into labor. And so I spent the whole day being like, feel kind of weird to like, okay, can you admit me early? And it was just like 2 hours before my scheduled induction time. When I lucked out, because inductions are not fun either. It was painful. I'm not going to be like, oh, it was like a miracle. And like, no, it was painful. And I'm glad that I got the epidural. And even the epidural, I didn't know that like there were like weird side effects from it. I was like kind of shaky from it. And also you have to like, you still have to sort of like let it know when you want the juice. So you do sort of start feeling things. And yeah, there was a lot I didn't know. And I did tons of research.
You know what's very interesting to me is that I know a lot of times C-sections are unplanned or unscheduled. But I had this woman at my very first job, my consulting job when I graduated college. And she, it was like, I think it was like a Tuesday or something. I was at the back office and they're like, oh, Christy, like, you're having the baby tomorrow. And I'm like, how do you know that? And I guess she was just getting it like a planned C-section. I was like, huh, okay, weird. But
it's a thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I feel like that'd be an easy way to do it. Like, cut it out at 39 weeks or something. I don't know. God, I'd be a terrible parent.
My OB practice was very much like sort of against that. I was a C-section baby. I'd sort of like been prepared for it, and my pregnancy and my labor were almost identical to my mom's. So I had a feeling it was going to come. And I didn't really want to push either. But C-section is a fairly scary surgery. You know, they wheel you out and you're in like the room, and so it was sort of frightening to like go through it. And then, you've had a pretty intense abdominal surgery, so it just takes a little bit longer to heal. And but I would do it again in a heartbeat. I preferred it.
So tell us about life after birth. When you have a baby, they are real. They are in your hands. What's that like?
It's pretty scary. You have 10 months or whatever, and then all the time before that you were anticipating, you know, getting pregnant to like prepare yourself. But the first 2 weeks are really hard. And I'm lucky that I had a really good support system. My parents are local. My husband's parents are local. A lot of my good girlfriends had, you know, been through the process, and they would text me every day. They're like, how are you? You know, I had friends that sent me, DoorDash and Grubhub gift cards. And so
that's nice. Sorry, I didn't send you anything.
No, it was just the first 2 weeks are hard. You know, the baby has to eat every 2 hours. And you have to, if they're sleeping, you have to wake them up every 2 hours to make sure they're feeding. And I was breastfeeding, and breastfeeding is really, especially when you're first getting started, is really painful. And then I had a C-section, so I couldn't sit up really by myself. They torture people by not letting them sleep, you know. So having to wake up every 2 hours, it's rough. But once that 2 weeks hits, it starts to level off and they start sleeping longer. You don't have to wake them up as often to eat, and it becomes, you know, much nicer process, and it doesn't hurt as much to breastfeed. I think the 2 week point was a turning point. And because it was a pandemic, you know, it's not like we missed out on a lot of things. You know, I love going to the movies, but it's not like I missed out going to the movie, you know, so my perspective is maybe a little bit skewed. But it's just been really fun to watch her grow up and hit her milestones and become something that can like sit up by herself, that, you know, can smile. It's been difficult, but nothing was as hard as the first 2 weeks.
What's the sleep situation like now?
Yeah, I mean, I put her down around right before we started recording, so like 6:50, 7 o'clock, and she usually sleeps till about 6:37 in the morning with no wake-ups.
Ooh, good baby.
So, yeah.
That's too – I would be like, can you sleep in a little more? I can do it. I'm so selfish about my sleep. This is another reason why.
Well, you just got to go to bed early with the baby. You got to go to bed with the baby at 7, and then you can wake up with the baby at 7.
I mean, logically, that makes sense. But am I ready for it? No.
I mean, I went to bed at 8 last night. So
I've been trying to go to bed before 10. I feel like I've been doing good about that. So,
but the baby slept in our bedroom for the first, like, 4 or 5 months. And so I got really used to sleeping with her white noise machine, because babies don't like it when it's really quiet. They like some noise, because that's like in the womb situation. So a lot of like getting them to sleep and getting them like calm is imitating their conditions in the womb. So you play white noise, you give them a pacifier. For the first few months, they sleep in like a really tight swaddle like situation. So now we have her monitor and it plays the like white noise. So now I need white noise to sleep too.
My ex-boyfriend had a white noise machine too, and it was like really useful. I actually really liked it. I don't have one for myself, but sometimes I put on like, you know, like seascapes or whatever. I don't really anymore. I kind of prefer to sleep in like dead quiet, but maybe someday.
So, like, on a 1 to 10 scale, like 5 stars, that's how that scale works. So would you give it 5 stars on a 1 to 10 scale?
Of what is she giving 5 stars to? Having a kid? The pregnancy?
All of it.
Okay.
Whole experience.
I'm like proud of myself for going through it, because it definitely is a lot. And I'm really lucky because I didn't have any postpartum depression, and I feel like, you know, I have my body back. Like, I feel like myself. So I was extremely lucky and to have a support system around, even, you know, during a pandemic, and to be able to like send our child to daycare during the day and So I've been really lucky and privileged throughout this process. So that's definitely helped. It has been hard. I don't regret it at all. So I think 5 stars, you know, especially during the when everything happened, I questioned, you know, like, what am I doing having a child right now? Like, the world is like falling apart. And, you know, I don't feel, yeah, I definitely, you know, it was hard. So I did sort of start to question, you know, like, the ethics of like bringing a child into the world. But selfishly, I am like happy about her. And I like to think that we're going to try to do our best to raise her understanding about what's happening and, you know, to be a force for good. So we're trying to do that even now, with her being 8 months, and we're trying to be really inclusive with the authors that we read to her, even like baby books, and exposing her to things even now. I think that, you know, there are things that you can do to help try to raise a person that is going to help the world rather than just take resources from it.
It helps to have a baby with good vibes, for sure.
What does that mean?
I feel like it sounds like the kid's got good vibes. I guess that was going to be my last question, is like, looking forward to raising her. Like, it sounds like you and I, or when I do come upon this time, I very much want to like plan, and like I want to like do this stuff so that they're prepared for this, and like make sure I read them these stories to make sure they're ready for this. Like, how far ahead have you thought about, you know, raising her?
I mean, I would love for her to be in the Olympics and, you know, like all these things. And I there's a lot of plans that I have. You know, I think like number one is like swimming lessons, because I want her to be able to learn to swim. And, you know, I did gymnastics, so I want her to do gymnastics and ice skating. So there's like things that, you know, also like selfishly, you know, like you want, if you have to like watch your child do things, you want it to be like things that you enjoy. Like, I don't really like baseball, so I'm not really forced to do baseball.
Don't want to go to the kids' games, gonna be honest.
Exactly. Like, little kids' soccer, like, everybody plays soccer, but like, do I want to go to soccer games? Like, I don't know.
More specifically, do I want to go to that soccer game?
So I mean, whatever she eventually wants, but I will probably like direct her in certain paths. You know, my husband and I are both Northwestern grads and fans, so she's gonna probably grow up going to Northwestern games and
bless that child.
Be like indoctrinated.
Hey, they beat the Gophers.
They had a good year this year.
Yeah,
good year.
You know, they were the only Big Ten team to not have a COVID outbreak. So
hell yeah, that's very sad.
So there are probably certain things that we can't help but, you know, be excited about and want to include her in doing. I mean, she's already in daycare, and it's a daycare they like, you know, they're teaching them yoga and sign language.
I've seen the pictures. They're cute. Yeah. Little baby yoga.
So I want her to be exposed as much as possible, and also become a chess prodigy. I don't think that's too much to ask.
A lot of pressure, it seems.
Well, I'll tell you, there are these little green pills that you can probably start slipping into your kids' food.
Perfect.
They might be able to help out.
Chess prodigy acquired.
That's how I know I'm not ready for kids, because I'm joking about drugging children.
We've all done it.
Yes, we've all drugged children.
That's what they do. If they're crying, you're supposed to put whiskey on their gums. To when they're teething,
no.
Numb the pain.
No.
No. Hey, I'm sure my parents did that to me.
I can confirm that.
We have like teething biscuits. There's like a whole.
Not the whiskey.
There's so many things that you can buy for babies. Like, And like when I see other people like have things, I'm like, well, I need to get that for her. Like, meanwhile, she's like playing with like the box, you know? Yeah. It's like having a cat. Like,
kids love boxes. They love boxes.
Dude, do you guys remember that show? Jesse, you might be like a little bit too old, but it was called Out of the Box. Sorry, I didn't mean to like age shame you, but Out of the Box. Out of the Box.
Was it like a Nick show? Like a Nickelodeon?
No, it was Playhouse Disney.
Oh, I had like a 50-50 shot and I went with Nickelodeon.
Yeah, okay, so Out of the Box. Oh, shit, it's on Disney Plus. Maybe I'll watch it.
Is it really? Oh, man, I know what I'm doing this weekend.
It's on Disney Plus.
Is it a kid's show? Can I like have her start watching it now?
Yeah,
it's a little kid's show.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. T could definitely watch it. So they like basically have this gigantic fort made out of boxes and it's just like the coolest thing ever. I love that show.
Well, screw Paw Patrol. Like, why isn't everybody watching that?
Hold on. We ain't going that far. Those are the homies, honestly.
Okay. I've never seen
there's
Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol and like Peppa Pig is one.
I've heard
that
Peppa
all
Pig
the cool
is good.
Kids watch. The cool
the kids
babies.
Love Peppa Pig.
Yeah. I know.
Kobe's ready for dad life like tomorrow. Yeah. He's like,
no, I gotta ask Kobe, like, what are the really little kids like? What are the 8 to 10 month set? Like what's the good stuff?
I'll tell you what the 6 months to 2 years demographic is. I really zeroed in.
Kids like Peppa Pig.
Interesting. I can't say I've watched Peppa Pig, but Out of the Box, check it out. Sponsored by this podcast, I guess.
Do you have a preference as far as like, do you want like two girls, two boys? Do you care? Like, what's the deal?
I definitely wanted at least one girl. So I have one. So I feel like good about it. You know, it'd be nice to have another one because I have all the clothes. Mm, you know, not that I didn't necessarily buy like gender specific clothes. I bought a lot of gender neutral clothes, but I wouldn't necessarily say no to dressing a son in a lot of T's clothes. But just in general, to reuse all the clothes would be really nice.
Babies all look the same anyway. No one will care.
Yeah,
that's true. She was born with a lot of hair.
Yeah, she was.
So I put like little bows in it just to like clip her hair back so it gets in her eye and like eating and stuff.
Man, I was a really cute baby. So was Colby, actually. Colby was a cute kid. I can attest to that. But I read this tweet that said, it's from Emily Vanderwoof, who is a film critic. And she said, last year, a friend who was pregnant said to me, we're having what we think is a gender, and then I guess we'll find out. And I like that. And I think a lot of like gender reveal parties are like really rooted in like, oh, this is what we do. But
and they're killing people.
Yeah, it literally they start
they're
fires.
Starting fires. Yeah. Like, just stop
it. Further, I did not have one. Like, for the record,
we would only have judged you if it started a fire or if it was very tacky
or killed a person.
A biological sex party, maybe. You just call it that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a good way of thinking about it. And, like, I mean, I think it's very hard because it's, like, deeply rooted in, like, two genders. And it's not until, like, maybe later that, you know, a kid could figure that out. So, yeah, I mean.
I mean, I have a lot of friends. I have some friends that refuse to really... They're very strict about raising a gender-neutral child, which I totally respect. But then the kid goes to daycare and comes back and says, I want to be Elsa. I want to be Minnie Mouse. So
yeah,
I think it is sort of, you know, and I, like, everything, a lot of stuff, she, like, her nursery is gray, and I try my best. You know, I don't dress her in, like, all pink all the time. But she goes to daycare, and they made, like, ornaments, and she came back with, like, a pink ornament. So I'm not, it's... Right, in the current world, I think it'd be a little hard to enforce that with people.
Yeah.
Yeah. At that point, the kid made an ornament and had a good time. So,
yeah, it's a really pretty ornament. It was very nice. I loved it. I mean, we don't have a Christmas tree, but we put it like on a table. It's pretty.
Well, I'm out of questions. Is there anything you wanted to bring up, Jesse, that we didn't talk about?
No, I mean, I'm very glad that you didn't ask me about that. What is it? Natalism movement that Tessa brought up. I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to counter these arguments. Like,
oh, yeah. I forgot we talked about that. that. That was weird.
It's like, I don't have like ethical, I mean, other than like the biological imperative or whatever, but I just wanted a kid. I was like, the kid doesn't even look like me. So I can't even be like, I wanted my, to raise like myself. He looks just like my husband.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we talked about it. We don't have to talk about it again.
So. Okay. I didn't come up with any good arguments.
Where can we find you, Jesse, if people want to hear more of your lovely thoughts?
As Martha mentioned previously, I am a co-host of a podcast called The Daily Nightly, Nightly spelled K-N-I-G-H-T-L-E-Y. And we're reading the works of Jane Austen and talking about them. We're about 25% through Mansfield Park. So come listen to us. We've also read Sense and Sensibility and Pride and Prejudice. I also recently started a book Instagram to talk about books, so come find me. It's a
yes,
book.
I did the design for them.
Martha helped me out. It's called Book Jesse is Better. So.
Great username. Great username.
It is a great, thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jesse. We loved having you on. Colby, where can we find you?
Everywhere. You can find me talking about college basketball at... Oh my goodness, why am I blanking? All the places Colby complains never made varsity, going hard into college basketball right now. And hopefully with something cool soon about High School Musical 2 that I'm working on. Hopefully it comes out between this episode and next episode. We'll see.
Oh, you can bet on it.
Hey.
Don't hide. Don't say it and hide. Say it with your chest. Be proud of it.
You can find me on Twitter at Marth_Vader. You can also find me on Etsy at Media Maven Martha. Buy my stickers because they're good. You can also buy lots of Ted Lasso merch, except if you are Galen and you left me a 4-star review because the magnet was not sticky enough. That's not my fault. And I can't, like, why? I'm mad. I was mad about it today. Anyways, thank you for listening. You can find us on all the places at Martha and Colby and www.marthaandcolby.com. We'll see you later. Find us online at www.marthaandcolby or on Twitter and Instagram at Martha and Colby.
To Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan from Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Shout out to Irene, even though you don't listen to this podcast.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon.
Hide self view because I don't want to see my face. Okay.
This was a pop culture